Much later, I returned to Chasm City. It was a long journey back, and it was interrupted by a stopover at the mendicant habitat, where I returned Amelia to her duties. She had taken it all remarkably well, and when I offered to help her in some way, not really knowing how I could, she deflected all such intentions and asked only that I make a donation to the ice mendicants when I was able to. I promised her I would. It was a promise I held to. Quinnenbach, Zebra, and I arranged a meeting with Voronoff upon our return to the canopy. "It's about the game," I said. "We're proposing a major restructure of the whole operation."
"Why do you imagine it could interest me?" Voronoff yawned.
"Hear us out," Quirrenbach said, and started to explain the framework the three of us had worked out since our time in refuge. It was complex, and for a while we did not seem to be getting through to Voronoff. But gradually comprehension dawned. He listened to what we had to say. And finally he said that he liked our ideas, and that maybe it could be made to work. We proposed a new form of the hunt, something we would call shadow play. In essence, it would be similar to the old underground game which the city had spawned since the plague. But in every detail it would be radically different, not the least of which would be legality. We would take the game into the limelight, establish sponsorship rules and a framework which guaranteed coverage and commentary to whoever wanted the vicarious thrill of a manhunt. Our chasers would be more than just rich kids looking for a night's quick thrill. They'd be hand-trained experts, hunter assassins. We'd school them in professionalism and construct elaborate personae around them, cults of personality which would elevate the game to the status of art. We would recruit from the best existing players, of course. Chantrelle Sammartini had already agreed to be our first employee. I had no doubts that she would fit the role perfectly. But we would change more than just the hunters. No victims this time. The hunted would be volunteers. It sounded insane, but this was the part Voronoff quickly warmed to. There would be no prize for the survivors other than survival itself, but with it would come immense prestige. We would have all the volunteers we needed, drawn from the vast pool of bored, affluent near-immortals who filled the canopy. In the revised form of the game, they would have finally found a way to inject a controlled edge into their lives. They'd signed contracts with us, detailing the terms of a particular contest, the duration, the permitted range of play, and the types of weapon allowed by the assassin. All they would need to do was stay alive until the contract expired. They would be famous and envied. Others would follow, anxious to do a little better, a longer contract, more challenging terms of play. We would use tracking implants, of course, but they would not function in the same way as the device Waverly had installed in my skull, and which Dominica had so kindly removed at short notice. Assassin and hunted would carry matched pairs, and they would be primed to activate and transmit only when within a certain range of each other, again, covered by the terms of the contract. Both parties would know when that happened, a ringing tone in the skull or something similar. And in that final hour of the chase, media would be allowed to descend for the first time, witnessing the end, however it played out. Voronoff joined us, eventually. He was our first customer. We called our company Omega Point. Soon there were others, and we welcomed the competition. Within a year of operation, we had pushed the memory of the old hunt into oblivion. It was not a part of the city's history that anyone wanted enshrined, and that was the way it happened. At first we were careful to allow our clients to survive the terms of their contracts, for the most part.